Welcome to another Jukebox of Nonsense podcast featuring Liz, Sean, Chris, and Joe.
Hello, and welcome to the Jukebox of Nonsense. And the very first thing you hear is Sean Powers taking a sip of his water. Broadcasting at its best right here.
At its finest. Hi, Chris. How are you?
It's Chris Bachman. It's Sean Powers. It's Liz G. It's Joe Walters.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. Welcome, man.
Welcome. Well, thank you.
How are you? Yeah. Hi, Liz. Good to see you again.
I'm just smiling because I can't believe we're doing this.
Yeah, it is the Jukebox of Nonsense. If you're familiar with MyMichiganPodcast.com, My104.3, and Buck 92, you know Joe, you know Spock, you know Liz, you know Sean. And so we figured, hey, what in the hell would happen if all four of us put on the headsets at the same time? And here we go. Not really any notes. I do have one fun thing here in front of me that we might end up talking about, but we just kind of said, let's get up and go. And I did say earlier that the first topic I want, and it kind of started fun. We wish we'd had the headsets on. We'll see if we can replicate what we were talking about earlier. The most recognizable person in the world.
Ooh.
Yeah, Liz, you had a pretty good answer, and it was?
Of course, Taylor Swift.
Oh, jeez.
Right now, she's so popular. Like, everyone's expecting her at the Super Bowl and, like, the night before, Japan.
Yeah.
There's even rumors of her, you know, performing with Usher at the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? I feel like that's the big backdoor rumor is she going to show up at halftime and jump on stage with Usher? And do they even have any songs together? I don't think they do.
No, they don't.
You say something about the Japanese government or something?
Yeah.
Making sure Taylor would get here?
Yeah, Japan is, like, comforting fans to be like, don't worry, your flight will get there. Like, her flight will get there before the Super Bowl starts, so she'll be there in time.
So, and, wait, people in Japan are freaking out, or...
Japanese government is, like, assuring Swifties that she will be there.
Hang on. Why does the Japanese government have anything to do with the Super... Oh, is she performing in Japan?
Yeah.
All right. Well, dude, I was asking myself the same question at first. I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
The night before, yeah. She has a...
All right. That makes a little bit more sense to me. And I think that's a really good one. In my... You know, dumb argument. I always got an argument for everything. Was that she could put on, you know, a hat and a ponytail, and if she got away from the crowd, she wouldn't blend in. I think Shaquille O'Neal is one of the most recognizable people in the world. But none of you guys really agreed with me, and so
physically recognizable, yeah, because he's so large. Yeah, but like fame wise.
You're talking about a guy who played on several USA basketball teams in the Olympics.
But there's a lot of people that don't get into sports either, too. So I mean,
that's true.
I mean, you know.
And, like, what's he doing now?
He's a DJ now.
He's on Inside the NBA. Him and Charles Barkley are, without a doubt, the two most popular basketball analysts there are. He also has Shaq Life, a reality show.
Shaq Life, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember if that was on Hulu. And I've said it, my buddy Judge and I said it since his playing days. At one point or not, he will host a Tonight Show. Like, he has that big and that fun.
He could.
He really could. And he's a really nice guy as well, too. He does a lot of good things for his community, does a lot of things to give back. I read a story one time that he would give a homeless guy money, then he saw him buying booze. And so the next time he took him to a restaurant, paid for his meal, and said, this guy's with me, let him get whatever he wants to grab. Then he went out and rented him an apartment and got a bunch of canned food and some clothes and was like, all right, here's your Shaq guy. And that's what he started doing so people, like, wouldn't waste the money. And so I thought that was pretty cool. But, Joe, for you, most recognizable person in the world, who do you think of?
It might be my love of comedy, but it's got to be Will Ferrell.
And I think that's another really good one as well.
That's a good one.
And I talk about Taylor Swift blending into a crowd. She may want to. Will Ferrell ain't never trying to blend into a crowd. You know what I mean? He's always going to be Will Ferrell no matter where he goes. And, Sean, didn't you say Kardashian, Sean?
Kardashians are pretty big. I don't watch them. I don't like them or anything like that. But the thing is, where do they come from? They came from Bruce Jenner. And Bruce Jenner was, you know, the big athlete back in the day and all that. And then, you know, they all came, they were born and everything. And then where do they come from? How do they get the reality show? I don't know where it started from. Because I'm not a Kardashian.
Is this really where the podcast is going right now?
Yes.
You know.
Our very first podcast.
Chris, you know, right?
No. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know where they started.
Do you want me to tell you?
So here's what's going to be the funny part for me here is I don't even
remember. Yeah, why are they so famous?
Well, I can't even think of his real name, but it's Moesha's, Brandy Moesha, you know, Moesha the TV show that was out in the 90s. It's Brandy's brother, right, in the tape that was online.
The tape. That's where I was going. Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian and was it Ray J? Ray J. Kim Kardashian and Ray J did the Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee Jones, but on purpose. And I'm saying it like that to keep this podcast as PG
sure,
as it
I know what
be.
You're saying. I know what you're saying.
She put it out there on purpose, right, was her thing?
That's what was said. Some theories is that Kris Jenner actually leaked it because she wanted her family to get famous. I don't know if that's true, obviously. We don't know. I don't think it was revealed whoever did it, but yeah, that's why
it worked for them.
Now they're billionaire. Kylie Jenner is a billionaire.
Yeah, they all are.
And to kind of circle back around, I don't know how popular the Kardashians are in Japan, but we know that
Taylor Swift.
Are they
huge.
Popular?
Kardashians are popular everywhere.
I think, as much as I want to say Shaq, or I guess Yao Ming, or just one of these really tall basketball players, I think Taylor Swift right now might be the most recognizable person on the planet.
Especially because she is on tour right now, and she just revealed at the Grammys that she's coming out with another album in April. So she's like the hottest commodity right now.
Yeah, and so many do you got any buddies, Joe, that hate it when she gets put on the TV?
Oh yeah, you hear it all the time
I wanted to say to one of my buddies, we don't need to see, and Dan Campbell wasn't in that game, but we don't need to see Dan Campbell on the sideline again. You know what I mean? And Jason,
you're telling me you don't want to see Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl?
I don't really care. You're talking to a guy who's going to sit down and watch. You saw me running around during the Lions game. You're talking to a guy who's, I am into the sports. I am into the nerdy stuff. I am into, and Brett Heibel taught me so much about this. I'm into watching the guards pull out, the tackles pull out, and who's getting out in front of the running backs. During halftime, I'm on my phone looking at the stats. I'm not watching the halftime show. That's me in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. She's I don't think she's going to be performing.
No, she won't.
At all.
No. She's going to be sitting in that little booth with mom or, his mom.
His mom or Ryan
Reynolds.
Travis
Kelce.
Yeah,
Travis
whatever,
Kelce's mom.
I forgot what I was going to say. I'm not a Swiftie by any means.
You
kind
of sound like you.
You know your stuff about Swiftie.
I do know my stuff, but it's she's just so popular right now. You can't help but come across those articles and at least read little snippets of it.
Well, what about, go ahead.
Well, Sean, you and myself, we're obsessed with music lyrics. You and I look up a lot of lyrics. We talk about lyrics of songs, for our job and everything like that. I will say, she is an incredibly talented songwriter.
Absolutely, she is. Yeah.
I don't think she's the greatest singer of all time, the greatest performer of all time, but her her songwriting has touched a lot of people, and there's not really a better way to say you make good music other than that, I don't think.
And
some of her stuff's pretty darn peppy. Can't help but
it. She's pretty catchy, and the teenage girls love her. And then when those teenagers turn into their 20s and they get older into their 30s and stuff, they still remember her, like Miley Cyrus. I remember when Miley Cyrus was really, when she first came out after her dad discovered her and put her on some records. She had The Climb and Party in the USA, and she was really, really big back in that time. And then all of a sudden she fizzled out, and then she just came back and she just won her first Grammy. But that crowd that my daughter was 3 or 4 at the time when she came out, and now she still listens to her because that's what she grew up with. So, if you grew up with Taylor Swift, absolutely, you're going to love Taylor Swift. You're going to follow her. You grew up with Taylor Swift around you, but you were not a Taylor Swift fan because that's not your kind of music.
Well, especially because she started out as country.
Right.
It was straight up. It's not my jam.
Country's not your jam. What? Liz?
I'm such an alternative emo girly.
Do we need to put Liz on Buck 92 middle part of the day?
Yeah. I think that's a...
No, I don't want to take Joe's spot.
No, he's afternoon drive. You'd be the middle part of the day.
I think Liz...
She's like, no.
No.
Strangle me now.
The Liz G Country Music Education is another podcast day for Jukebox of Nonsense. That could be something else to do.
What song did you play me yesterday? And you were like, you know this. One.
The Gambler
from Pennywise.
Gosh,
and that is like one of the biggest crossovers of all time.
She don't know the
she
Gambler.
Didn't know
she don't know. But see, here's the thing, though. Millennial. You guys are millennials, right? Chris is a '90s kid, and I'm a '70s '80s kid.
Yeah. Well, and I always talk about, I grew up with my pops introducing me to contemporary Christian music, and so there's so much of the stuff that I learned or whatever. But the Gambler, I thought that everybody
knows
knew
it.
The Gambler. Yeah,
apparently
when
not.
We dropped No One to Hold Them, No One to Fold Them, she didn't even know. She had no idea,
man.
I dropped that yesterday to some of my friends. Were playing some video games and we could not get a win. And
you got no one to hold them, one to fold them. Let's get out on
started singing it.
They all knew it.
And now I do have one final question, I guess, with our most recognizable person in the world, Taylor Swift. Liz, you're not a Swiftie, but what's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
I don't. I really don't have one.
Now, I hate to admit it, but mine is Shake It Off.
Shut up. That's like the worst one.
No. The worst one was Love Story. That one was horrible.
My sister used to sing that all the time. Over and over again.
That was horrible.
And I think it's the day, play, that stuff that gets stuck in my head or whatever. But that song just puts the spot in.
Shake it off.
Oh, do I have the rights to sing it?
What's your favorite Taylor Swift song, Sean?
Oh, gosh, anyone that's not on the album? I don't know. Shoot. I mean, Shake It Off is pretty good. Love Story was okay. What was it? Teardrops on My Guitar, because that reminds me of my daughter when she was little again. And when she heard it when she was little, and she's just like, "Daddy, I love this song, the Teardrops song." So that I've kind of got that with my daughter, that bond going on with the song. So yeah. I'd have to say Teardrops.
Joe, favorite Taylor Swift song?
I gotta agree with you. The Shake It Off.
Liz, we
worst
just...
one.
it's not the worst, but it's not my favorite.
I'm looking at her music right now, and
she's looking it up.
I can't
even. She doesn't know all the music.
I can't pick one.
But if you want any Taylor Swift knowledge, she's got it all. The Japan government and everything.
I'm a radio co-host. Okay, I gotta know these.
She knows the stuff. She just doesn't like the music.
From where this started, though, and you're dropping all the Taylor Swift knowledge in the beginning, I'm kind of surprised in the end that you're the only one that can't even name a song. And you guys make me feel very vindicated right now that you guys agree with me as well. And now to kind of preview something we've got coming up in March, and this is always going to lead to fun conversation, Serial. You know, we're going to have what's the exact name of it, Sean?
We're going to call it, we're going to keep it really, really, really creative, ultra creative, March Serial Madness.
March Serial Madness.
Because we can't call it March Madness because of copyright, so March Serial Madness, yeah, if you throw the serial word in there.
And so that is coming in March, and I'm going to just look down at a couple of these, maybe the most polarizing ones here that I can try and find. Golden Grahams versus Frosted Mini Wheats. I think that's a pretty good one right there. It's going to be a first-round matchup. Which one's your favorite, Sean?
Dude, I'm going with Frosted Mini Wheats.
All right. Yeah. Liz?
Uh-oh, somebody's phone's going off.
Wow, Joe.
It's
Taylor Swift. Broadcaster.
Taylor Swift's calling them.
Frosted Mini Wheats or what was it?
Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams.
Frosted Mini Wheats.
Yeah. All right.
Golden Grahams cuts your mouth open.
Golden Grahams.
Oh, I think Frosted Mini Wheats can cut your mouth open when you try and eat them right away. I mean,
no.
It's pretty...
Do you know whose vote doesn't even matter right now? Joe's. He doesn't even like cereal.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Oh, secrets are revealed. Yeah, secrets revealed. Here we go.
Back up the train here.
Yeah.
So what did you eat growing up as a young buck here?
What did you eat for a midnight snack?
Mom and
Tarts. Mostly Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Toaster strudels.
Toaster strudels are pretty good.
Yeah, I can't deny
that. And I get frustrated when people try and tell me Pop-Tarts are better than toaster strudels. And I'm like, Pop-Tarts are more convenient than toaster strudels. Like, I get that. You can just take it on the run. You can eat them dry. But when you're taking your time and you get one of those warm toast, you get them done just right in the toaster.
That buttery, flaky crust.
The problem with the toaster strudel.
You put on your own icing.
The problem with the toaster strudel is it can still be a little cold in the middle, or it could be way too damn hot in the middle or whatever. It could burn your mouth with that.
I still go with Pop-Tarts, though, man.
You still go with the Pop-Tarts.
I'm an old school guy, you know, brown sugar.
I love
maple brown sugar.
Pop-Tarts.
I do, too.
Pop-Tarts are my weakness. Pop-Tarts. And now they have those Pop-Tart bites.
Yeah, the little biteys. Yeah, yeah.
I haven't tried those yet.
Oh, my gosh.
All right,
change your life.
What about regular Cap'n Crunch versus peanut butter Cap'n Crunch?
Peanut butter.
Regular.
I'm on a peanut butter kick lately, so I love
go,
peanut butter.
Really? I go regular, too. I think regular is, I don't know what the flavor of the regular is supposed to be, I guess, but I go with that one over the peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
First of all, I think we can all agree that Cap'n Crunch cuts your mouth open.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I've got source to prove
that
it.
That definitely cuts the top of your mouth open. But I think the peanut butter Cap'n Crunch is even worse than the regular Cap'n Crunch.
Oh, no.
The worst.
Those are disgusting. So why don't you like the peanut butter? You don't like peanut butter?
No, I do like the peanut butter. I enjoy both of them.
Okay.
But if I have to pick one, I'm going with the regular Cap'n Crunch.
If you want peanut butter, why don't you just get Reese's Puffs?
Because I want peanut butter Cap'n Crunch. It sounds better, and it tastes better together.
That takes us into another one to discuss, Reese's Puffs or Cookie Crisp, because I'm going
Cookie Crisp. Cookie Crisp.
Yep. All right, that was pretty emphatic right there, and even Joe dropped in on the Cookie Crisp.
Well,
all right.
When I was eating cereal, the very few times, it was either like Golden Grahams or Cookie Crisp or Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
All right, all right.
And see, we were talking earlier too about Cookie Crisp, and he was talking about a fox or something on it. I was like, no, there's a cops and robbers, and he's like, no, what are you talking about? So we Googled it and we looked up the cereal box pictures, and yeah, the one from the 80s, it was a brown box and it's got a cops and robber on it, and then the one I didn't know they had a different kind, different packaging in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. So he grew up with the 90s one, and I grew up with the 80s one. Isn't that weird? Yeah.
You're explaining this to the wrong generation. We wouldn't know.
Just go learn your Taylor Swift music. We're going to quiz you later.
And to go way too deep into it, I think what we decided is when it was Roland brand Cookie Crisp, it had the cop and robber on it. But when General Mills bought it,
they changed it
over to the wolf. But yeah, when you said it at first, the cop and robber, both Joe and I were like,
dude, are you high? What are you talking about, man? You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, boy. And so, all right, are we at the dead end of our first podcast here? Should we keep talking about cereal? Should we move to another subject here?
Let's talk about music for a couple of minutes, because that's what we do. I mean, we're music people.
Yeah, well, we were just talking some Taylor Swift. But
yeah, I'm talking real music.
All right.
I'm talking music that our listeners can relate to.
Let's start with where we ended things from Taylor Swift. Sean, your number one song of all time. And yes, this is a spot I'm calling you out. You have to pick one.
Of all time?
Number one of all time.
I've got a top five list of bands and stuff. Number one is Queen, and my number one has got to be Don't Stop Me Now.
Don't Stop Me Now.
Right. You know, and a very close second would be Sweet Talking Woman from ELO. And I know you love Mr. Blue Sky.
Mr. Blue Sky.
Yellow.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. And what I love about Jeff Mr. Blue awesome. Sky, I feel like it's three to four songs in one. And yeah, it was always one of my favorite songs, but then the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, when Groot is dancing around to Mr. Blue Sky, that just kind of cemented it in stone for me. I can remember being at the movies with my friend Katie, and it's going through the beginning, and the credits get over, and he's done dancing. It does the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I remember I lean over, I says, I don't care if the rest of this movie sucks. That was coming right here, just from that right there.
That's got it for him.
ELO is so good. You know, they have so many good hits.
Yeah.
I say ELO and CCR are just as good as the Beatles, but they don't get the love that the Beatles do. And I think part of that's because of, you know, what happened with John Lennon and everything. And that's, you know, another podcast for another day, I guess.
Right, you can go deep on that.
Joe, number one song of all time.
What kind of question is this?
I have so many.
Well, to go different than Mr. Blue Sky.
I was going to say, just shake it off again.
I love Miley Cyrus.
I think an easy answer to this song for me or whatever, like Mr. Blue Sky is right up there, but I think Piano Man by Billy Joel.
Really? That's your ultimate favorite?
Oh, man, that's a pretty darn outstanding song. And what's cool about Billy Joel, it's just him. It's the piano, it's the harmonica, and it's him.
Yeah,
and
up.
Obviously, there's places where he performs with the band and everything, but a lot of times when you see all the shows at Madison Square Garden, stuff like that, it's just him, the harmonica, and the piano.
See, and I think you like it because he's a singer-songwriter, and I think the singer-songwriters that were big in the 70s, really tell, they tell the real stories, and that's, it's kind of like country music, of the, back in the day, where, a lot of them, they just laid out stories.
And make a movie for you.
Exactly. Perfect example with that.
All right, we're skipping Joe. Liz.
Oh,
drop it out. Drop
did
it
you out. Think of one?
We got to come back to it. We can't just skip over him there.
I thought of one. Under right. the Bridge, Chili Peppers.
Oh, there you go.
All right, that is a really.
Anthony?
That is a song that, comes on late at night. You just kind of kick back and chill, or if it comes on in the car, you turn it up, you just put the cruise on.
And you guys were talking about lyrics in songs and how sometimes they become so true. Mm-hmm. I got to see the Chili Peppers 2 years ago, and if you don't know the whole story about John Frusciante, that song like resonated so much with me getting to watch them. It was just awesome. Literally almost made me cry.
Hey, and... I go back to, you make me think of Jelly Roll when he got to perform with Craig Morgan. Craig Morgan, I made you watch that a few times, and he talks about how that song moved him to tears, and he wanted to make music that did that for people. And so I think that's the greatest compliment you can give the Red Hot Chili Peppers is saying something like that. All right, Liz, dropping it on you now.
As soon as you said this, all right, what a question to ask people on the spot. But the first song that came to mind was Simple Man.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, Skinner.
And then Shinedown actually redid it, too.
So
I like Shinedown.
Both versions are amazing.
And this is from songfacts.com. I'm not going to get it exactly correct, but Simple Man is from the mom and the grandma of the two guys from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yep, the Van Zandt's.
Just kind of literally taking things that their mom and grandma had given them, life advice, and putting it into a song.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good selection right there. And I think those are four pretty good selections. I think they're kind of different ones as well, and kind of all the music we play as well on my 104.3 at least.
Now let's go to a Buck 92 format real quick.
Oh, okay. No.
And let's...
The gambler.
For now. Liz has got one on. She loves Pasty Klein, I know. And the Judes is what she called them. Let's go to some old, good old classic country, because we just lost Toby Keith, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That damn stomach cancer crap. So what would be one of your favorites since you're on Buck every day?
Yeah, Chattahoochee. Easily.
That's Chris's favorite video.
Wait, really? Well, that jumps out to me.
I love Chris in the video.
Back to what I said earlier, I didn't grow up with my dad saying, hey, this is Alan Jackson or anything like that. It was, this is DC Talk, Stephen Curtis Chapman, the Newsboys and whatnot. So the first time Chattahoochee came on and I heard it in my car and was, paying a lot of attention to Buck 92, learning some of the music, I remember calling Sean and Tina and being like, what in the heck? I didn't see the video.
The song.
I said,
yeah.
What in the world is that song? And both of you guys were like, that is one of the biggest country hits of all time. And I thought to myself, what? Are you kidding? And I remember coming back looking it up on YouTube, and it was like a billion views. You know what I mean? And I was like, holy. And then the video of it is him out there. It is all 90s in that
water skiing,
fluorescent.
Right?
Yeah.
Out there, vest water skiing. But Chattahoochee, I think that is a good answer. Man, there are so many songs that I think of out of country music.
But, are you talking about the thong song, Chris?
The thong.
All right, Cisco, way to go, man.
But, two songs. You talk about a song that moves you to tears, Three Wooden Crosses from Randy Travis. The first time I heard that song in the car by myself, that moved me. And then my grandpa and I kind of share, a couple songs before he passed with, C.W. McCall and The Convoy, along with Old Ragged Flag from Johnny Cash.
So
every time, we play Old Ragged Flag, I think of my grandpa Fran. And so I think that's got to be... the song that's the most special to me, but the song that I enjoy, Chattahoochee's right up there now. I can't lie. Every time that song comes on, I just put a smile on my face.
It makes me want to go to the lake.
Just get away from life and just go have your own adventures for a while. And you were just talking about, songs that move you, whatever. My classic country song that moves me is Through the Years from Kenny Rogers. And it was on the radio when my dad passed away in 89. Song came out in 82. And it had been on the radio for years, but then it was on the radio the night my dad passed away after we left the hospital, and we were driving home, and Through the Years came on. And the moon was coming up over the, so it's just, that song is really, that's the feels right there for me. Mm-hmm. But like country music, country song, I think the best performer of country music of all time, and you guys can argue this if you want, is Garth Brooks. One of the greatest performers, in concerts and everything. He's just the guy, he works it, he knows it. But for my favorite, my favorite classic country would probably be Sold, the Grundy County Auction.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's my jam right there. Michael Peterson's Drink, Swear, Steal, and Lie. Although he didn't really go very far with the country music career, that's one of the songs that resonates from back in the day.
I'm not familiar with either of those, and so those are ones that, I'm going to have to go and give a listen to sometime later today or something like that.
Liz?
I got a pass on this one.
I hear crickets. I hear crickets and bats.
And so you're so opposed to country that there hasn't been one song on Buck 92 that you kind of said,
it moved me.
I kind of like that. Actually, do we play Simple Man on Buck 92?
We could.
Charlie Daniels.
Sure.
Yeah, because that's Southern Rock. Southern Rock is same as
actually,
country.
He brought up Charlie Daniels' band, Devil Went Down to Georgia. You got your Achy Breaky Heart from Billy Ray Cyrus crossover song.
Why did you bring
that? What about...
He's categorizing... Billy Ray Cyrus with Charlie Daniels. That's kind of like sacrilege, bro.
Well, as a guy who's on my 104.3 and Buck 92 very often, Charlie Daniels' band, Devil Went Down to Georgia.
A good one.
Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart. Yeah, like those are a few of our crossovers.
Yeah, those songs crossed over. Shania Twain's got some stuff that's crossed over.
Kid Rock, Sheryl Crow Pictures, you know, a crossover song that we have right there. But so, you know, and there's not an issue with that, Liz. You know the music you like, and you know what you like, what you know.
And
so.
I'm familiar with country music, but I have no opinion on like what the best country song is.
It's not about
it's
the best.
Your flavor.
It's your favorite.
Like a song what's a song that you enjoy or you like? You
country?
Know, yeah.
There isn't one.
There isn't one?
There's not.
Okay. We have
try.
A problem. Where did she come from? Who hired her? Brought her into the mix.
Hey, I saw my 104.3 adult hits, not Buck 92.
Well, see, we had to rope you in with that. So.
I'm just kidding. I tune into Buck to, you know, hear Chris and Joe. But then as soon as the song comes on, I just got to go,
which is all the time.
When I just got to go, whoop.
I listen to the radio, but when the song comes on, I got to turn it.
What if?
Who says that?
That's
they
gold,
listen,
man. That is
who
gold.
Who says they listen to the radio for the commercials?
Yeah. What if we started dropping some Taylor Swift in there for you?
Oh, my
still
gosh.
Tune in.
That would run away our audience.
All right, so. Who is your favorite artist of all time then over? Because like I said, you're into more of the alternative rock scene. Would that be the correct way to put it?
Yeah, I would say so. A little bit of metal, not death metal.
I enjoy
that, but death. I wouldn't say.
Okay. We got Liz laughing too hard now. Should we keep going?
I think she just peed her pants.
Should we keep going?
I'm going to pee my pants.
I told you.
You guys are pretty good at that.
Should we keep going?
Don't strain
your say the word.
I'm trying to think of
every time I think of that music, I always picture Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Oh
when
my
he's
god!
Like,
oh god!
Yes.
When
you
threw the crowd or whatever.
Crowd. Yes, yes.
And then New England clam chowder. Is that the red or the white?
Or the white?
Yeah. But all right. So favorite artist, you're kind of going somewhere before we.
So my brother got me into all of this music when I was a little kid. So I think I first listened to a lot of Shinedown, a lot of My Chemical Romance, Avenged Sevenfold,
all right,
Disturbed.
Yeah, and I feel like those are some of the more mainstream all rock bands or whatnot. So
you like Blink 182? That's one of your favorites.
They're Blink's okay.
Good. Yeah,
they're good. They're not my favorite.
Yeah.
I feel like Blink 182 is that.
Blink 82.
That's what, well, I feel like that's a band that I should have liked, but I just wasn't. You know,
you
had,
honestly
it wasn't your
should.
Flavor.
You actually remind me of one song.
That's well,
which
well,
one is this, Liz?
The Rock Show.
I don't even know what that song is.
I gotta play it for you. No,
it's the Rock Show.
They don't scream. Well, no, get out of here.
The song "What's My Age Again"?
That's a great one.
Was it 21 that they said you
23.
Were
23?
I was 23 when that song came out, and so it was like I remember. I was like, I tried to like that song, but that was back in the days of LimeWire and Kaza, and so
I forgot about Kaza. From LimeWire.
That never made it onto a burnt CD. And actually, funny story. There's a computer out there in the barn that actually has my old, like, still all of the MP3 LimeWires on it. If we could get somebody to access it, and it's mostly all gangster rap from this guy's gangster rap days.
Dude, he was in the gangster rap.
There's
bag,
some
big time. NWA and a little Public Enemy, and
there's a lot of good stuff on there though. I guess that you can't find anywhere else.
Where is
nowadays.
It? Where's this computer at?
It's on here. It's in the barn, and it may have gotten taken to the. Recycling center for the electronics that the tribe sponsors every year. But if Lori didn't bring it out there, it's still a big box with a big old desktop bit. I think it's like Windows 95.
Dial-up.
DOS
on it.
DOS. Yeah. The C prompt.
All right, have we now hit a dead end?
I don't know. Liz, is there anything else you want to throw out there? She loves Taylor Swift.
She's still kind of
loves classic
country. I'm a hardcore Swifty.
Yeah. I think she's still kind of.
I wear cowgirl boots every day.
And you should see him. Oh, my gosh.
Rides her horse to work.
Yeah, I know. I think she's still reeling from our hard rock band that we just kind of formed.
But I said, come on, girl, please.
And I don't, I don't know what.
I don't want you to strain your vocal
I don't know
cords.
What.
No, not at all.
I don't know what instrument I'm playing with. The
keys? Like
you're chugging like along
keys
on the guitar.
It's like a
combination of guitar and drums and keyboard or something like that.
Yeah. I will say I have always wanted to be able to do that like metal scream without damaging my cords. I can't.
Oh my God! I can like get you with my ex boyfriends from high school.
If I didn't have a ball game tomorrow, maybe I would try. Yeah. But yeah, Sean.
Yeah. What?
You want? You nope. Never mind.
What? Oh, do I have anything else?
No.
That's sorry.
That's
well,
there's
no way.
I like. I please actually like Sean's. Like I can't. Like he, Sean's
that's
not
like,
saying.
Sounds like it's all in your throat.
It sounds like AC/DC is what it sounds like.
Well, what are you?
What they don't mix of Toad from like Mario.
What I like about Sean is,
do I look like Toad or
no,
I sound like
sound.
Toad? Okay, good, good.
You could kind of hear what Sean is saying, but it was like if it was on the closed caption on TV, it would just come out all
yeah,
all
it would
messed
be,
up and everything like that.
North Korean language and all that.
And so when are we going to do this again?
I
think that's
the
jukebox of nonsense. I think it was sure a whole lot of nonsense. But
I guess it's got to be when the inspiration hits us, you know, when we can
we
all come
to
together.
We have to do it enough, though, so it's like.
Yeah, so it's so people will listen.
Well, we're gathered here a Wednesday at right around.
We're gathered together. Well, he's an ordained pastor, so we are gathered, my brothers.
We are gathered here on a Wednesday. Around 3 p.m., so maybe we could tell people to look for one of these podcasts every Thursday or every other Thursday at MyMichiganPodcast.com or wherever you get your podcast. The jukebox of nonsense, an 80s guy, a 90s guy, and a couple millennials. Now, I'm ashamed, and I'm maybe not ending the podcast here now, but I get a little bit of shame. I'm born in 85, so I get grouped in with the 90s kid and the millennials sometimes.
You are a millennial.
Well,
But technically, though, he's still an 80s kid because he had 5 years in the 80s. So he's technically still an 80s kid.
Well, technically, I'm
a 70s kid. It's 70s, 80s. So I'm 70s, 80s. You're 80s, 90s. You know, you are
98.
Okay, so yeah, late 90s, and then you're late 90s as well. So you guys are still technically 90s kids?
Yes.
Well, no,
see that when somebody...
You're not...
what are you trying to say, Joe?
I've had so many people...
You're like me, you don't want to be a millennial.
Me I'm not a 90s kid.
Don't love
kid.
Them.
And I am a 90s kid. I because I guess I relate to them more, you know? Mm-hmm. I had two older sisters. I had a lot of hand-me-downs. Watched a lot of 90s pop culture.
You had to wear some ladies' clothes?
Probably.
I'm sorry. We
growing up on the farm, anything is possible.
People say like the late 90s kids are kind of like a weird mix because we are old enough to like remember like rotary phones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we also grew up in a time where like iPhones were a big thing when middle school.
Yeah. We grew up with both of those types of things.
So
yeah,
so we have like both ends
I
of
I still
the
remember
spectrum.
Collect calls.
People hate us.
All right.
Okay, I go far back. I'm pagers.
Strange.
My grandma had one.
I can pay. Well, Grandpa Sean here. Well, Grandma's paging me. It's time for supper.
Go ahead. I'll age myself here. I can remember when you could win a beeper at the arcade. You know, you get so many tickets, you could get yourself a beeper.
He's not allowed to Chuck E. Cheese anymore, though. So
a beeper is a pager.
A pager.
Did it run off of your cellular network? Like, is that where you went?
No. Somebody would call you from a landline, and they would text their number to you, and then it would beep, and it would give the number. And then, you know, if it was an emergency, they'd put your number and then /911. So you have to go to a payphone, or you'd have to go to
your phone or
you know,
something.
Your phone, you know, because we didn't have these handheld computer devices. So we have to go there and call them back.
So my qualification for a 90s kid that might piss these guys off.
All right.
What do you guys remember about 9/11?
Ooh.
I'll be honest, I don't.
If you're not old enough to remember 9/11...
My mom told me that.
Does that
I
make
was,
sense?
Yeah, that's really good, Chris.
You know, and I'm just being an asshole here and hating on you guys because I know Joe doesn't want to be a millennial, but you know, I would have been 16 when that happened. I can remember going into my second grade science class, and my teacher, Miss Cheney, said some idiot flew a plane into the World Trade Center because when the first plane flew in, you didn't think it was terrorism. You just thought there was some idiot flying around.
It was an accident, aviation accident, something just happened.
Things were so much different back then that it was more likely that it was some idiot flying his own plane to fly into the World Trade Center than some type of terrorist attack. But then when the second one hit, like I said, that was everything changed. School shut down that day. Your radio station shut down that day. Well, you changed your format.
I was 26. I was working at Tower 98, which was a top 40 CHR, and I was doing afternoon drive, and I remember I got a call from my boss that morning, and she said, hey, you know what's happening in New York, what happened at the Pentagon, and yeah, I know. She goes, I need you to come in early. She goes, we're going back to wall-to-wall ABC News. So we were ABC News all afternoon through my show, and then about 6 o'clock that night, I was on until 7 o'clock every night. And I remember at 6 o'clock that night, she said, all right, we're done. We're going to go back to regular format. And I go, I don't even know what the hell to even say on the radio for the last hour. You know, there's nothing I can say that's going to make anybody feel any better or anything like that. So I was like, I just didn't talk. And I just played liners and sweepers that whole hour and just did play the music, and I was done. And then the next day, I came in, and it's just, it went on and on. But one thing I loved about 9/11 is how the world came together and everybody in America. You know, you go to the store and, somebody to hold the door for you, open at the gas station, total strangers. Or they say, hey, can I get that for you? Or, hey, can I help you with this? And everybody was out to help each other. And that lasted for like 6 weeks. And after that, then everybody just went back to doing their thing. But that 6 weeks when the world came together, and that's why, the song, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning, the country song, and the one that Liz needs to learn.
Toby Keith, courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue.
And God bless him, yes, and God bless Toby, too, for putting that out there. And so when, I remember it, obviously. Finally, I was in my 20s, so, you guys don't remember that, but... Yeah. It was, we can talk about this all day. This is a whole nother podcast in itself, but I just want to say that, the world was definitely different, and the world definitely changed on 9/11 for the worst, unfortunately.
So I might be turning this into the never-ending jukebox of nonsense.
Are we going to continue?
If I keep going.
Let's just keep going, man. I ain't got to go home.
Thank you, Sean.
No, thank you, Joe.
Well, thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Chris.
There we go. Thanks so much for joining us.
That was good. That was
for
good.
The jukebox of nonsense.
Yeah, point.
We'll be back with more at
very
some
soon.
Point.
Very soon. Love you guys. See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out our Jukebox of Nonsense podcast featuring Joe, Chris, Liz, and Sean. The views expressed by these clowns doesn't necessarily reflect those views and opinions of Platitude Media, My 104.3, Buck 92, or sponsors, responsible adults, bats of all kinds, politicians, music junkies, and anyone else we may have left off this list. Check out our website for even more podcasts from around the area. Just go to mymichiganpodcast.com. It's podcasting that matters.